You are tuned into the Dr. Tina Show with Dr. Tina Moore. For more, visit drtina.com. On this episode of the Dr. Tina Show, I am coming to you from the Big Island of Hawaii. It's my 50th birthday, and I'm here for the week on vacation, and we finally got some lovely weather, so very excited about that. And I'm excited about this episode. I've been racking my brain on how to put this together, but what I'm going to talk to you about today is the idea behind sustained weight loss and just how absolutely difficult it is. And this brings me into the subject I've been talking a lot about lately, which is the GLP-1 agonist. The peptides that you're hearing about in the brand name form are, you know, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic, and the compounded versions that are popular are semaglutide, tirzepatide. Those are the generic names for those brand names, by the way. And if you go back and listen to my prior episodes about this topic, which I'll link in the show notes, you will hear me describe a different approach. And so many of you have been terrified into thinking that these were just deadly, terrible drugs. And while I do agree that they are being overutilized at too high of doses without any other comprehensive treatment plan in place, I disagree that they're dangerous. And I covered that in detail in prior episodes, so I won't belabor it here. But something that's very interesting to me is how many influencers out there who I otherwise thought were really intelligent just keep going on and on about, it's all about dietary changes. It's all about, you know, calories in, calories out, just eat less and move more. I mean, just the ignorance. I don't know if it's intentional or what. It's really reminding me of 2020. Like, it's really reminding me of a few years ago. And it's very odd because what I'm seeing unfold is really, in my opinion, a lot of fatophobia. I am a firm believer in using a comprehensive treatment plan to help patients. That's the oath I took. I'm not a health influencer. I'm not a health coach. I took an oath to first do no harm. But more importantly, the overriding concept is to find the root cause and to help folks. And folks who struggle with obesity and diabetes do indeed have a GLP-1 deficiency. And so by replacing a little bit of that peptide, in my opinion, is much like replacing a hormone that they're already deficient in. And can we induce proper functioning of that peptide through lifestyle and natural solutions? We sure will try. And that's part of what I call a comprehensive treatment plan or a comprehensive program that encompasses all the things. And all the things I preached to you guys about, strength training, building muscle, getting adequate sleep, mitigating stress as best we can, avoiding inflammatory foods like seed oils and ultra refined carbohydrates, all of that still matters. And in fact, the peptide is just but one tool in a toolbox. And my argument from the beginning has been that I think remarkable things can happen when all the things are addressed. We're able to just use peptides in small amounts. But unfortunately, the allopathic system is cranking them at super high doses, and they're using them solo as like the only intervention. And you know, astute obesity doctors will obviously bring in other pharmaceuticals. But I can see where, in my opinion, that ship is steering the wrong direction. And what's frustrating is that folks won't listen to my prior episodes or my take on this, and they just want to attack me. That's been really interesting the past week. Callie Means came out and was on the Tucker Carlson show, and I adore both of those guys. And I think Tucker might actually be on Ozempic, to tell you the truth, by the looks of him. But I absolutely adore Callie and his crusade against the metabolic disaster that is this country. We are in a mess. And I've been saying it for decades. And in fact, I've been saying it a whole lot longer than most of these people have. A lot of these folks just came to this awakening in the past, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. I've been flying this flag for decades, you guys. Like, I get it. But I also understand that we have such a broken problem, which I'm about to get into, that we might need some help and some interventions. It's not this, how do I phrase this? Cleaning up the food supply at this point with the level of toxicity that is in our world and in our cells
and how many generations deep we are. You know, Callie made a point on Tucker where he said, we're one generation in. That is incorrect. We're four generations into this. And the epigenetic and genetic changes that have happened have created such a disastrous mess that it's not going to be as simple as changing people's diets. And it's not going to be as simple as getting people to exercise more. Yes, those things need to be addressed. And that is something I have been gunning against for decades. And quite honestly, I'm tired. You know, it's not popular to come out with these ideas decades before everyone else is and take heat for them. Like it wears on me. So I absolutely believe that is the solution, but that's a pipe dream. And I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime, to be totally honest with you. Big Food has their talons in deep. They basically hired this, and I've known this for decades too. There's a book called Prescribing by Numbers. I've shared this with you guys on other episodes. Go read it. They talk about how the pharmaceutical industry invaded medicine. And then there's another book. I can't think of the name. I will put it in the show notes. It's salt, sugar, fat, something like that. And he talks about how in the 90s, the same PR firm that Big Tobacco used was hired by Big Food. And they knew exactly what they were doing to everybody in the early 90s. And they knew they were creating an obesity problem, and they decided just to roll with it. So I've been fully aware of this for a really long time. And just like I've been fully aware of glyphosate issues, et cetera, for a really long time. And these are not quick steering ships. So in the meantime, what can we do to help people? That's really the question I pose to you today. What can we do in the meantime to help people? And that's where I'm coming from when I am talking about using all the tools that we have available to help people thrive and succeed in their goals.
Ladies, do you have a hard time hitting your protein targets? The struggle is real. Thank goodness women are finally waking up to just how critical protein is for all of our health goals. I've been preaching it for years as I've seen firsthand clinically what low protein intake does to a woman's body. What's important to understand is that the active component of protein we eat that does the work of building the muscle, that stimulates muscle protein synthesis, is the essential amino acids present in that meal. You've likely heard of the leucine threshold. Well, a 2015 study showed that a low dose, 3 grams of leucine-rich essential amino acid like chion aminos stimulate muscle protein synthesis equivalently to 20 grams of whey protein in older women at rest and after exercise. What this means is for older women, chion aminos can be 6 times more effective than an equal amount of whole food protein at stimulating muscle protein synthesis. If you're a woman coming up on 50 like I am, you know how hard it is to maintain the muscle we're working so diligently for in the gym. And you need to know that taking 3 grams of essential amino acids per day is going to be the easiest way to support that goal. That's why I take chion aminos every day to hit the leucine threshold. Backed by over 20 years of clinical research, tastes amazing with all natural flavors, non-GMO and sugar-free, chion keeps me on track with my muscle gains goals. I consider it part of my quote-unquote muscle insurance. To save 20% on Keon Aminos, just go to getkeon.com/Dr. Tina. That's getkeon.com/DrTyna to get my fundamental supplement for fitness, Keon Aminos. I've been a low-carb gal for a long time, and I'm embarrassed to admit that I've only recently learned in the past few years that all low-carb folks should know is how critically important electrolytes are to supplement. Electrolytes facilitate hundreds of functions in the body, including the conduction of nerve impulses, hormonal regulation, nutrient absorption, and fluid balance. Common issues like headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness may simply be a lack of electrolytes. Adequate electrolyte intake can boost performance and recovery in the gym as well. And most importantly, they support the low-carb lifestyle that many of us follow. My new favorite electrolyte product is by Element. Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything you need and nothing you don't. This means a science-backed electrolyte ratio with none of the junk, no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, no fillers, no BS. Simply adding a daily packet of Element into my routine has given me more energy, less cramping, and improved mood overall. I even think it's helping my sleep. I've teamed up with Element, and they've been gracious enough to offer a free gift with purchase to listeners of the Dr. Tina Show. The free gift Element sample pack includes one packet of every flavor. This is the perfect gift for anyone who's interested in trying all of their flavors. My favorite is the raspberry salt. They offer a no questions asked refund on all orders, so if you don't like it, you don't even have to send it back. This offer is exclusively available to Dr. Tina Show listeners, so be sure to use the link in the show notes and take advantage of it now. Head to the link drinkelement.com/Dr. Tina. That's drinkelment.com/Dr. Tina.
I am not anti-pharmaceutical drug when used appropriately, and I'm a big fan of compounding pharmacies. I am against, obviously, the way that Big Pharma is handling things, but there's been a multitude of times when pharmaceutical drugs saved my life, and there are people in my life that I love dearly that wouldn't be here without pharmaceutical drugs. And some of them have gotten to such a busted place before they even got a diagnosis or knew what to do that they are on drugs for life. And thank God, right? Thank God. So for you purists out there, go ahead and jump ship now, because I have said it before and I'll say it again. The way I was taught to do medicine, because I am a prescribing doctor in the state of Oregon, was to use pharmaceutical drugs at the lowest doses necessary, along with lifestyle medicine, lifestyle changes, diet, exercise, nutraceuticals such as supplements, herbs, etc., homeopathy, whatever tools we have in the tool belt to offset the need for the higher doses of pharmaceuticals. So my goal is always to bring people down to the lowest dose necessary and or to get them off if I can. But if they need a little bit of something, something, then so be it. I was always happy to prescribe it, so long as they were keeping up their end of the deal of taking really good care of themselves, right? This is a full-time job. We live in such a toxic, messed up world that this is a full-time job. And I get that not everybody has that kind of time, you guys. I take full responsibility for the privilege I have. Now, I've created the life I have. I used to have the, 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night type of job. But I have created a life where I have all the time in the world that I need to change my schedule around. I can work out whenever I want. I can essentially do whatever I want, right? Because I'm an entrepreneur and I've created that lifestyle for myself. So I get that that's something that not everybody has. My husband works a normal 9-to-5 job, and he doesn't come home at night and feel like going out in the gym to get a workout in, but he does it because he knows he needs to. But that takes away from our time. And by the time he's done and takes a shower, it's time to go to bed. So if you have kids and you have a full-time job and you have people in your life that rely on you, I get that you can't do all the things that these influencers, and myself included, are telling you to do. It takes a lot of time to sauna and lift weights and get all the things in, right? The red light, the et cetera. These are time-consuming tasks. And I'm in reality, and I know that people need help. Heck, I'm in Hawaii, and I'm in a pretty affluent area. The resort area I'm in is quite expensive. And I've been here multiple times over the years. And I will say that I haven't been here in about 10 years. What an absolute mess human's health is in. I went to the same luau I went to actually 11 years ago last night. And I just couldn't believe how, and these are, $200 a seat tickets. And I just couldn't believe the poor health of everybody. People are in trouble, and I am trying to help. And that's why I'm working on it right now. It's one of the reasons I came here on vacation, was to get some time to create. I'm working on a really awesome comprehensive program to help everybody. And it's going to be applicable for clinicians and healthcare professionals to learn more about how to do things. And I'm going to go deep into my thoughts and theories around microdosing and how I've been doing it. And I'm going to talk about all the things. And there's going to be, workout programs and meal plans and a really comprehensive understanding of all of the different systems in your body that are playing into having these GLP-1 agonists work optimally, and how we can cycle them and dose them and utilize them for the long run. Because what we don't want is what's going to happen to so many Americans that are cranking the dose right now. That is not sustainable. Eventually, their bodies will override that and it will no longer work for them. And that's a terrible place to be, because here's what I'm about to tell you. Sustained weight loss is virtually impossible. And if you look at the statistics, it's pretty bleak. Maybe 20% of folks will have, if people lose weight, right? We talked about low calorie or reduced calorie weight loss efforts in past episodes and how that can lead to muscle loss, and it can lead to, you know, all kinds of troubles if someone isn't strength training and prioritizing protein. And it, whether they're using a GLP-1 agonist to reduce their appetite, and, you know, those peptides do a lot of other things. So go back and listen to those episodes. Or they're just, you know, duking it out with their willpower and they're keeping those calories low and they're restricting and they're losing weight, whether it be through exercise and or low calorie or exercise alone or low calorie alone. Only about 20% of those folks maintain some degree of weight loss within a year. And 5 years out, it's a bleak, roughly 5% that have maintained that weight loss. So telling people to lose weight by eating less and exercising more, I'll say this, nearly anybody on the internet can help you lose weight. Losing weight is not the hard part. I know it feels hard, but it's really not the hardest part. The absolutely difficult mountain to climb is keeping the weight off. We call them the reduced obese. These are folks who started out obese, lost weight. That is the bane of every obesity doctor's existence, is keeping these folks with the weight off. That requires a lot of effort on everybody's part. And it's very, very difficult. It's very, very frustrating. And many obesity doctors will tell you that it's a very frustrating line of specialty for them, because keeping the weight off is so hard. And here's why. I'll give you guys some information around this. So the physiology of the weight-reduced state is such that long-term weight loss maintenance is seldom achieved in individuals who've lost weight, owing to numerous biological adaptations occurring post-weight loss. There are neuroendocrine-mediated changes. So this is hormones in the brain and neurochemistry that's, you know, pitted against them. There is appetite and satiety issues in the brain happening. And there's an overall reduction of energy expenditure. So when you lose weight peripherally and centrally, so peripherally meaning out in the body and centrally in the brain, the body responds to this, essentially the starvation signal, by conveying to the rest of the body that energy reserves have dwindled out, and it activates a stronger countermeasure. So fat begets fat. Fat has memory. Fat wants to stay at its set point. So the stronger countermeasure is to increase calories. And we've all heard about this. And some have blamed just the thyroid on it. And we used to kind of have a understanding that that was a big player. And while it is, of course, I think a bigger player is what's happening with these neuroendocrine changes in the brain. And it's really frustrating. And your muscles actually start working at a lower energy expenditure. So your metabolism quite literally slows down in its most simplistic sense. And this happens from a whole slew of hormones that are secreted by fat that talk to the brain. And I'll mention a few of them today. But what's notable here is that the body goes into a state of reserve, and the fat wants to preserve itself. And so essentially what they have found is that the changes that I have just described may be permanent. And if not permanent, it sure does take a long time. So up to 6 years later, they have found this to be true. So the neuroendocrine brain changes, the increased appetite, the decreased energy expenditure by the body, and the increased drive of fat to preserve itself and to bring itself back to set point is such that for years and years and years, the body will struggle to go back up. And here's what happens. You end up hungrier than you did before. Whether you lose weight without a peptide or with a peptide, it doesn't matter. You end up hungrier than you did before. The drive to eat and the hunger signal is stronger. And now most folks have lost a ton of muscle mass. And so they have metabolically really shot themselves in the foot. So if all you take away from this podcast today, the strength training part is non-negotiable. I don't know how else to say it. Folks will end up skinny or slimmer. They will also end up with less muscle mass. They will end up hungrier for at least 5 or 6 years. We have data on that. We have fMRI changes. We can see it in the brain. We have actual studies where they did functional magnetic resonant imaging on the brains, and they looked at the centers for hunger and appetite. And these centers were torqued after weight loss, and they stayed that way for a long, long time. And some researchers believe this might be permanent. And others will say, well, until you get back to a set point. And if you don't have muscle, you are in terrible trouble, because folks are going to go off these GLP-1s at high doses, or they're going to go off their low-calorie diet, or however they're losing the weight, and they are going to come back hungrier with their fat to lean muscle mass ratio worse off because they've lost it. You will lose muscle no matter what, no matter how hard you try. And I have not lost any muscle. I've lost a little bit of strength, which is also a very telling sign, but my strength percentage-wise is the same. So if I was able to, you know, deadlift 200 pounds at when I weighed 150 pounds, I'm able to still lift that percentage of my weight at a lower weight. But the frustrating part for people is that they don't understand this, and so they don't strength train. They just pound the GLP-1s. They crank up the dose. They eat garbage. They don't change any of their ways. They don't use it as a learning opportunity to reset their habits and their lifestyle. Or maybe they even just do this with a starvation type diet, period. You know, like the, you know, if it fits in my macros kind of mentality where, well, if I just eat one donut instead of 12, I'll lose weight, which if that's all you're eating in a day, of course you will. It's less calories. But the maintenance part of that on the tail side is now you are hungrier. You're more skinny fat than when you started, meaning you have less muscle to fat ratio. Your body composition has shifted in an unfavorable way. And now the brain changes have occurred, thus that you are hungrier than when you started. And so I've talked to a couple doctors who've been using GLP-1s for some time now, and their frustration is that they get patients up to, like with semaglutide, the high end of the dose is like around 2.5 milligrams. And now they've got patients asking, can I go up to 3? Can I go higher? Because they're unable to maintain that slim figure that they got with it. And unfortunately, there's nowhere to go. They will eventually override that signal if they keep eating through it. You can eat through these. And the frustrating part is that they, if they go off of them, they are going to be hungrier than when they started. And so now they're basically set up for failure. And this is, again, the case whether peptides that decrease appetite are used or not. And this is the really frustrating part for people and for, I'm sure, the people going through it.
I've never been big on skincare, but recently started getting more serious as the signs of aging are definitely showing. I've recently started using an incredible skincare line, and I'm excited and wanted to share with you. The past few years, my skin has been doing this annoying combo between an allergic prickly heat rash and a perimenopausal rosacea, and it drives me nuts. My buddy Andy Nilo owns a skincare line, and so I reached out to him for help. Andy is the best dude, and he kindly sent me a big box of products to try. And let me just say, wow, I am in love with Alatura skincare. Each and every product from Alatura is a game changer for my skin. The products feel amazing, and my skin is calm and clear again. Alatura is handcrafted natural skincare. Their mission is simple: to provide customers a skincare wellness experience with products made of superior natural ingredients packed with nutrients, minerals, and natural growth factors. Alatura is the skincare line I've been looking for, and it checks all the boxes. It's all natural, cruelty-free, non-toxic, non-GMO, and as organic as possible. Listeners of the Dr. Tina Show can now save 20% off your first order by heading to alatura.com. That's A-L-I-T-U-R-A.com. And be sure to use code Dr. Tina at checkout for the discount, or simply click the link in the show notes. You're going to love it.
One of the kind of the crown jewels, really, in this world of obesity medicine is the bariatric surgery or the gastric bypass or the, you know, there's different things they can do to the stomach, whether they cut part of it out or they band it or whatnot. there is some success there. And it's not just because they cut out the stomach and the stomach is smaller and it can hold less food. It definitely changes these neuroendocrine mediated responses in the brain. And so there has been some success there, but you've seen it. Folks can eat right through that too and potentially end up with a whole host of nutritional deficiencies because you need your stomach lining to help you absorb certain things. So anyway, I'm not saying that's a great idea. I'm just explaining to you why it's a potential treatment on the table. And one of the reasons is this, is that the reason that this perception of increased hunger persists is because your fat cells contain leptin. And leptin is a hormone that was discovered in the 90s, and it helps your brain realize that it's that it's full. Ghrelin is a hormone that is secreted that goes to the brain and tells your brain that it's hungry. And leptin goes to the brain and tells your brain that it's full. And when you lose fat, because leptin is secreted by fat cells, when you decrease your fat on your body, your fat cells unfill, right? You decrease the load on the fat cells, you now have decreased your leptin secretion. And that tells your brain that you're hungry. So it's the body has these built-in mechanisms to keep itself at weight. The real theme here that I'm trying to get at is don't gain the weight in the first place. That's really the only solution, is to not gain it in the first place. But too late. So many people already have, right? I mean, we're looking at a huge obesity and overweight epidemic in this country. Huge percentage, like up to 80%, close to 80% are either obese or overweight. And it's too late. The weight's already on. The set point's already been set at that high weight. And so utilizing peptides, utilizing different medications, utilizing different strategies aside from just eat less and exercise more, I believe is necessary. And this is why you've heard me say in past episodes, I actually think when that first 10 or 15 pounds comes on, it often comes on for us in menopause because of our shift in hormones, that's the time to intervene. It's crucial. And the obesity researchers will probably agree with me on this. Not gaining the weight is critical. Why are we reserving these peptides for folks who are significantly overweight or significantly on their way to type 2 diabetes, or already in type 2 diabetes, I should say, for them to qualify for insurance coverage, right? And again, I think the brand name ones are starting doses too high, but I've talked about that in past episodes. What I really want to get at here is don't gain the weight in the first place. That's critical. So if you're suddenly 15 pounds up, 20 pounds up, because you're, you know, my age, you're 50, and you're like, what the hell is going on? That's the time where I think a low dose, a very low dose, along with a comprehensive program, including looking at hormones and everything else, is critical to success, because we don't want that set point to go up. I've already had my set point go up. I stayed too long with that extra 15 pounds on, and it wants to stay there. And so now that I've been using microdosing GLP-1s for a few months now, and I've talked about it I did a whole episode about it. You guys can go back and listen. I was using it not for weight loss specifically. I was using it because something in my brain had shifted. I could feel it. It was like a switch had been flipped, like a circuit breaker that had blown, and it needed to get reset. And I was struggling with some autoimmune issues, and I was struggling with brain fog, and I was feeling really out of sorts. And I knew something had to give, and it was hormonal replacement wasn't doing it. None of my other strategies, and I have access to the coolest stuff, you guys, it just wasn't working. And so I started utilizing a tiny, tiny dose of GLP-1s and having really phenomenal success. And so you guys can go back and listen to that episode where I go into that in more detail. The point being is every single patient that I have on this at micro doses, nobody is getting any adverse side effects. Nobody is feeling ill. Most aren't even at starting dose, or if they are, that's where they're staying. And I think one of them specifically is the only one I put on it for weight loss. And because he has type 2 diabetes and he's morbidly obese. Everybody else was for different reasons, independent of weight loss. So these peptides have a lot of different impacts on different body systems, and I covered that in detail on other podcasts. So please go back and listen to them before you, you know, jump all over me, because there are a variety of features here. One of them being they sit on our macrophages. They actually impact our immune system, because our immune system cells, our white blood cells, some of them have GLP-1 receptors. So all that to say, intervening early and this whole culture we've built where it's like, well, maybe your body isn't supposed to be the same size it was. Yes, actually, you're not supposed to be 40 pounds heavier in middle age. Now, there is some fat that's protective. That's because of leptin and other hormones, you know, adiponectin. There's other hormones that are secreted by healthy fat. But most people's fat over time becomes unhealthy. It gets a bit overcrowded and it becomes inflamed. And once that happens, all systems go bonkers and it's a mess. And you end up with visceral fat being laid down. And you went, like, the second you start adding visceral fat to your body, your fat is not healthy. For me, that's when I get over 5 or 6 pounds extra. Suddenly, it's all visceral fat. So there is no healthy subcutaneous fat that I get. It's not really in my cards. I'm not built that way. I'm built like a little apple. And so any weight that I get goes right into my visceral fat, which is the fat under the muscle layer in the stomach that surrounds the organs. That's very inflammatory and it's very bad. And it leads to insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. And so, and I've seen what it does to my family members. So all of this to say, looking at this comprehensively so that folks can have success is the key. And the other important part here is leptin resistance. There's a lot of talk about leptin resistance, and I absolutely believe in that. You've heard me talk about it in the past. Leptin resistance is really interesting because the fats there, it's secreting the leptin as it would, yet our brain cells have been so flooded with it that the receptors start cleaving off, much like insulin resistance or the resistance of any hormone that is too high in the body. Leptin resistance is a real problem. How do you correct leptin resistance? Well, there are concerted strategies, but basically in a nutshell, it's all the things I preach. It's all the things I've been telling you to do. Go outside and get light in your eyes during the day. Don't stay on your phone all night and be a night, you know, total night owl. That vampire syndrome that some of us, me, suffer from probably put me into this mess, right? Exercise is critical, but not over-exercising. We don't want to blow the circuits out. It's absolutely critical that you strength train more than anything. Strength training and walking, I think, are beautiful, beautiful harmonizing therapies to help folks combat visceral fat, combat leptin resistance, combat all of the bad things that can happen as we age and become more inflamed. We're just becoming more inflamed and more carbohydrate intolerant as we age. It's just the way it is. That's the way our bodies are built. So we might as well accept it and get strategic about it, right? We want to make sure our hormones are balanced as best we can. And I know that's kind of a misnomer of a term, but making sure we have adequate thyroid on board, making sure as our estrogen's decreasing that we're looking at potentially supplementing that with BHRT. Progesterone's a big one. I think all of these sort of dance together, if you will, if you think of it like a jazz band. You can't have any one instrument missing or it doesn't sound right. Leptin lowering or leptin because of weight loss or leptin receptor resistance will definitely contribute to thyroid hormone going off kilter. So all of these things are tied together intimately and really, really important. Our gut health is important. Our toxicity level is important. Understanding how to run our own labs and look at them and critique them on our own without having a doctor on board. I mean, of course, you always want to have your doctor look at your labs to make sure you're not missing something, but being able to really just look at your labs and see just with some simple markers, like where's my inflammation at? Where's my blood sugar handling at? That's really critical. These are all things I'm going to be addressing in detail inside of my program that I'm about to release. Our stress response, our mindset around it, all of these things matter. And it's not as simple as doing a laundry list of tasks and getting your red light in and all of that to make it all go away. This is a comprehensive problem that requires a comprehensive solution. And it's not cranking GLP-1 agonists. It's not cranking Ozempic. It's not putting Ozempic in the water and giving everybody Ozempic, but it certainly isn't pulling Ozempic off the market because it's so dangerous. We're blaming the peptide for the dose. The poison is in the dose. And the doctors are going with what the data says, and the data has people cranking the dose. And I honestly think most people are being overdosed and it's causing them a lot of terrible side effects. And the peptide's getting blamed for what the dose is doing. There are some folks who will not be able to take these, or they won't be able to take a certain one and they need to try a different one. There's a whole host of GLP-1 receptor agonists. So we have to stop blaming the peptide and calling Ozempic evil as this blanket statement when it has its place. It does play in concert with all of these other things I mentioned really beautifully. It is deficient in a lot of people. Now, if we get them back online, will their, and we get their health improved overall, will their GLP-1 production naturally ramp up? I hope so. That would be nice. But for those who it doesn't, some of these folks might be on these forever. Some of these folks might lose so much weight that their leptin decreases so much and they're already dealing with leptin resistance that the only way to override that insatiable hunger that is going to be increased with the weight loss is to potentially keep them on this peptide for long term. And I'll tell you what, if it's going to decrease, we know it decreases cardiovascular disease, it improves kidney function, all of these things that are side effects of poor metabolic health and diabetes and, you know, running around with 40, 50, 100 extra pounds of pro-inflammatory fat on our bodies, we need to ask people about their risk tolerance. And I sure can tell you that there are folks that would much rather have their life and be able to move freely and not be in chronic pain and not be worried about dropping dead of a heart attack and not, you know, having their kidneys go south on them and not mind maybe a little bit of nausea or potentially some loose stools, right? And if you dose this stuff right, those are not so much of a problem. That is what I'm finding clinically and what I'm finding from so many pharmacists and doctors that I've talked to who are using these, who really are in agreement with me that just short of a miracle in many cases for people. So with that, I will bid you adieu. I hope this is helpful for your understanding. If you have been on the weight loss journey and it has been really frustrating for you, hopefully this sheds some light on. This is kind of the kindergarten version. I go into the, you know, high school version and college version inside my program. There's a lot of other hormones to talk about, but just know that leptin resistance, decreased leptin, and then subsequently a whole host of other hormonal changes and neuroendocrine changes are happening at the central level and the peripheral level when someone loses weight that really stack the odds against them to regain that weight. The body, the fat talks to itself and it will protect itself at all costs. And I'm a big fan of utilizing whatever tools necessary to get people the results that they need, not taking them into super skinny mini land, because there's a whole host of dangers that come along with being underweight that I will talk about at a later date. And I definitely am going to talk about inside my program. But getting people back to their fighting weight where they can move freely, they can really ramp up the movement and the exercise and the strength training, which is critical. Like, that part's non-negotiable, guys. It's really non-negotiable. Please, if that's all you take home from this, strength training, whether you're taking peptides or not, is non-negotiable if you want to age well and you want to have good health. You have to have muscle going into this. And there's a lot we can do if people would be open-minded and willing to learn and stop with this propaganda parroting narrative. It's really getting old and it's a really bad look. It just looks ignorant at this point. There's too much data contrary for these people with these huge accounts to continue to make these really sort of blanket ignorant statements. So with that, I will bid you adieu. Please go back and listen to all the other episodes about Ozempic. I call it Ozempic done right. It's not specifically about Ozempic. It's about GLP-1 agonists. And I've got a free mini course, you guys. If you are interested in my upcoming program, which is going to be a big deeper dive, get in on that mini course. It's basically the wait list. It's 6 lessons over 6 days of emails where I break down the most frequently asked questions that you guys have. It's free. It's a free mini course. It's drtina.com/Ozempic done right. That'll get you on the list. And we're February 7th. My birthday's in 2 days and I'm launching my program really soon. So make sure you get on that list. And I really appreciate you all. Thank you for making this it's awesome to be 50 and be able to be helping people at the level of reach that I am. And I really respect all of you for taking the time to listen to my incessant rants and my interesting thoughts. I know I'm not always preaching with the choir, and I hope that you appreciate that about me. Cause I just, the second I see everybody go lockstep in line with something, I'm like, why, right? It makes me raise my eyebrow. And so I really appreciate you guys who, so many great messages have come in. Hundreds of you have reached out to me telling me how you too have had profound life changes utilizing GLP-1s in ways that you just simply couldn't get a hold of your health before. And you were doing all the things right to the point of OCD and you just couldn't get it dialed in. And getting a little bit of a GLP-1 agonist on board was really life-changing for you. So I appreciate all of your messages and support, and I wish you all well. So we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Tina Show. Please be sure to follow me on Instagram at Dr. Tina, that's D-R-T-Y-N-A, and Dr. Tina 2.0, as well as visit my website at drtina.com. This is a Resonant Media production produced by Drake Peterson and mixed by Chris McCone. The theme song is by John the Gilt. As always, you can email the show at podcast@drtina.com. And if you like this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. See you next week. This podcast is for general informational purposes only. It does not constitute the practices of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. I am a doctor, but I am not your doctor. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is intended not to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions.